The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, headed up front, Eat, and it's about noodles. Asia is known for its diverse range of noodles. Chris Toy, a cooking instructor and cookbook author based in Maine, shares some popular types of noodles. Ramen, a wheat noodle typically served in the popular dish of the same name, which features a rich broth with a variety of toppings. Ramen noodles can be curly or straight. They are typically made with wheat flour, water, salt, and kintsugi, an alkaline mineral that makes them chewy. Then there's rice noodles. Made from rice flour, these are widely used in various Asian cuisines, especially in Thailand, Vietnam, and China. They come in different widths, including vermicelli, pad Thai noodles, and wide rice noodles. Then there's soba. Thin noodles made from buckwheat flour or a combination of buckwheat and wheat flour. Soba noodles can be served hot in broth or cold with a dipping sauce. Then we have egg noodles. These wheat and egg-based noodles are used as the foundation of chow mein and lo mein, which typically includes vegetables, meat, and a savory sauce. And finally, there's glass noodles, also known as cellophane noodles. These noodles can be transparent. They are made from mung bead starch or other starches. They are often used in filling for summer rolls. Now, from the same source in Upfront Live, we have a few little short items here. Footwear for Fido. Protect your dog's paws this winter. What's the hottest fashion accessory for dogs this season? Boots. You wouldn't want to go barefoot outdoors in winter, right? So consider that when walking your dog. All that snow, ice, and cold pavement can be harmful. In freezing temperatures, wet feet on a dog can cause frostbite of the pads on the paw, says Lindsay Wolko, CEO of the Center for Pet Safety. Footwear can also protect against the dangers of sometimes toxic de-icers on walkways. Major pet supply retailers offer a variety of boot sets, usually for $30 to $35. Fashionistas with cats, you're out of luck. That tabby is not going to stand for anything on those paws. If your dog resists boots, an alternative is to keep a bucket of warm water near the door to rinse their paws, Wolko suggests. Another good practice, says veterinarian Heather Burst, medical lead at animal health company Zoetis, is to rub paw wax or balm on their pads before a walk. Then we have the best room for collectibles. Consider this spot for your prized keepsakes. Those much-loved treasures you've collected over the years can sometimes struggle to find a home in your home. These odds and ends may not fit in with the decor of your living spaces, changing the character of a room. Here's an idea. Displaying collectibles in a bathroom can personalize and add a little whimsy to an otherwise antiseptic space. You don't have to be so serious in the bathroom, says interior designer Bob Richter of Lambertville, New Jersey. Richter's own World War II-themed bathroom boasts vintage items like a U.S. Navy poster and antique glass bottles. It feels like a curious, inviting place to be. Sharon Della Piazza, 55, of Berkeley Heights, New Jersey, also put this idea into practice, displaying her mermaids and fairies, perfume bottles, and some of her late mother's Hummel figures on a wrought iron wall shelf. It makes me happy, she says. It's like I've stepped into a little fairy world before I need to step into the real world. And finally from this section, how much is too clean? Stop wiping and vacuuming all the time. A little grime might be good for you. It's natural to worry about germs and bacteria, especially as we age and our immune systems can become weakened. But your home isn't a petri dish growing scary diseases at every turn. says microbiologist Sean Varen. And some exposure to microbes, Varen says, is like a workout for your immune system, teaching it to recognize and fight diseases more effectively. Gastroenterologist Robin Kuchtang, author of The Microbiome Solution and host of the Gut Bliss podcast, says a good rule of thumb is to clean your kitchen nightly and the rest of the house weekly. More frequent cleaning is needed only for visible dirt, grime, or mold, or when someone in your household is ill. What else can you do? Introduce good microbes into your home, says microbial ecologist Jack Gilbert of the University of California, San Diego. Open your windows. Let pets romp indoors. Grow potted plants. Studies show that these three things lead to a higher level of beneficial microbial diversity inside the home, Gilbert says. Moving on to our next chapter in Prevention Magazine's Secrets of Aging Well, Chapter 4, Restorative Sleep. There are many reasons why getting enough sleep is important. It helps support brain function, maintain physical health, keep you focused, minimize your chances of getting sick, and more. Here's what to do during the day so that your nighttime is a dream. Sleep 101. Find out what you can do in the morning, in the afternoon, and at night so you can get some shut-eye more easily and increase energy and productivity during your waking hours. A lot of us think about sleep twice a day. At night when we're tired and need to go to bed, and in the morning when we're still tired and want to stay there. But lack of sleep affects our whole day. Poor sleepers miss out on immune and emotional regulation, as well as tissue restoration and repair, says Jessica Payne, PhD, a sleep and stress neuroscience expert and a psychology professor at the University of Notre Dame. Stress may keep you awake, but insomnia can impair your ability to regulate stress the next day, creating a sleep stress snowball, Payne says. Given sleep's ability to wreak havoc on our waking hours, it makes sense that our day might be causing us trouble at night. Think of your day like a fitness class, says W. Chris Winter, MD, a sleep medicine specialist and the author of The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken and How to Fix It. Your decision-making brain is like a good instructor who leads you through the class, giving notice of what's coming up next or how many burpees you'll be doing. Without that sort of guidance, your body holds back, he says, trying to conserve to prepare for the unknown. Adequate sleep is one of the lifestyle factors that can affect how long we live, but getting a good night's sleep relies on healthy daytime activities to regulate your body's biological clock or circadian rhythm. The interplay of sleep and rest when it's on a schedule helps signal your brain as to where it is within a 24-hour circadian rhythm, Dr. Winter says. Certain activities send the right signals and others can be harmful, says Dunn Dexter, MD, a neurologist at Mayo Clinic Health System in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Here's a 24-hour guide so you can sleep better starting tonight. Warning. Quit hitting snooze. Our greatest sleep mistakes happen in the morning, Dr. Winter says. After a bad night, it's tempting to give ourselves a pity pass to sleep in or take a sick day. On the other hand, a regimented response at the start of the day helps set your brain's sleep-wake clock. The exception, if you wake up too early, don't try to force a return to sleep. It's smarter to get up then. That reduces the chance of developing a chronic case of insomnia, according to research conducted by Penn Medicine. Eat breakfast. Banking calories for dinner leads to overeating in the evening, when a night of fitful sleep as you try to digest that appetizer, dinner, dessert, and drink. In the morning, make sure some protein, such as eggs, yogurt, meat, or milk, is on your menu. In general, protein tends to facilitate the production of dopamine, a wakefulness neurotransmitter, Dr. Winter says. Stop and step outside early. Exposure to morning daylight, preferably combined with exercise like a walk with the dog or to the bus stop, supports internal clock regulation, since the sun suppresses melatonin. Even on a cloudy day, a 10 to 30 minute walk provides more light than being indoors with all the lights on. If you can do a heart pumping workout, even better. That will increase the serotonin that enhances mood and wakefulness and informs your internal clock. Afternoon. Catch 10 minutes of downtime. Our temperature naturally drops around lunchtime, aligned with circadian rhythms causing sleepiness. A short cat nap during your lunch break at the same time each day can reboot energy levels, but it isn't necessary to fall asleep. Resting isn't a failed nap, Dr. Winter says. The goal is to practice relaxation techniques that will be useful at night. Let your mind wander and get drowsy for about 10 minutes, then get back to what you were doing, refreshed. Don't chug that coffee. Our bodies produce adenosine, which promotes sleepiness, says Reba Matthew, MD, a sleep medicine specialist in Houston. As a stimulant, caffeine blocks it and inhibits your brain's natural increase in sleepiness as you move toward nighttime. Herbal tea or water is better in the afternoon. Plus, if you drink water throughout the day, you'll need less in the evening, helping you avoid 2 a.m. trips to the bathroom. Work out before dark. Exercising raises body temperature and levels of epinephrine and adrenaline, known as sleep fighters. Exercising in the late afternoon or early evening gives time for heat and hormones to quiet down. A falling body temperature almost acts like a signal that brings on sleep, Dr. Matthews says. And do a short meditation. Decreasing daytime anxiety and worry can help you doze more deeply at night. Find 5 to 10 minutes to use the body scan meditation technique, observing your body's sensations, moving slowly from toes to scalp or the reverse. Melt stress on your own or using a guided meditation in an app or on YouTube. And here's a sidebar before we go on. Could your sleep problems be something else? When patients visit Dr. Matthew with sleep-related issues, she first rules out an undiagnosed sleep disorder, such as sleep apnea or restless leg syndrome. Patients with untreated apnea, for example, have an increased risk of blood pressure-related and cardiac problems, including heart failure. Dr. Matthew says, a vicious circle between untreated apnea and early heart disease can ensue, and this may even lead to sudden cardiac death in severe cases. Seek your doctor's advice if you have been snoring, get plenty of sleep, but still feel fatigued or are otherwise concerned. And this is a sidebar article before we get to evening. Set up your ideal bedroom. Temperature, set your temperature between 60 and 67 degrees Fahrenheit. Your bedroom should be at least as quiet as a library. Most individuals prefer a medium firm mattress, and bedding should allow you to sleep comfortably without sweating. The room should be so dark that you are unable to see your hand in front of your face. Can't get to peak opacity? An eye mask should do the trick. Face the clock away from you. Clock watching makes us anxious and increases stress hormones. Now let's look at what to do in the evening. Turn off the overhead lights. Exposure to bright light can reduce melatonin levels by up to 50%, says Dr. Panda, PhD, a professor at the Salk Institute for Biological Studies in San Diego and the author of The Circadian Code. After 6 p.m. or so, turn to table lamps and floor lamps with warm or orange-hued light bulbs. Electronic devices should be set to night mode to warm the screen color. Get a ritual. Any kind of stimulus is problematic, even Law and Order reruns. You'll experience subtle increases in blood pressure, heart rate, sweating, and pupil dilation. Instead, take at least 20 minutes to dial it down. Try gentle stretching, meditating, or taking a bath. Think of it as a bookmark at day's end. pain says, telling the body and brain that it's okay to sleep. Stop eating 2 hours before bed. Keep dinner on the lighter side. Your body's digestive and waste functions need rest and downtime to learn when the kitchen is closed, Panda says, to prevent nighttime snacking. Write down what's bugging you. Payne says that without offloading the day's events, your brain continues to process stressful situations throughout the night. Improve compartmentalization by writing down problems and sealing them in an envelope. Save solutions for the morning. Adjust your expectations and start again tomorrow. And next time, we'll look at some sleep myths debunked. Now, going on to AARP, the bulletin, and to an article that we started last time, Super Agers Breakthroughs. The coming crisis of an aging population and why we must keep ourselves healthy. Preserving the health of people in their 80s, 90s, and beyond is a critical challenge facing the U.S. Over the next 30 years, the number of centenarians in this country is projected to quadruple to roughly 422,000 by 2054, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. While the population of people over 65 may reach 82 million in the next 25 years, at least half of these individuals over 65 will have two or more diseases. A quarter of them will have three or more diseases by age 70, says biochemist Laura Niedenhofer, director of the Institute on the Biology of Aging and Metabolism at the University of Minnesota. We need a radical new approach. Some researchers believe the era of that radical new approach has already dawned. In the not-too-distant future, your doctor will be able to use anti-aging supplements and drugs to treat aging overall, delaying the onset of age-related diseases. Advances in screening technology, together with targeted therapies, may usher in a new era of the detection and treatment of cancer, says Ronald DePinho, cancer biologist and the Harry Graves Burkhart III Distinguished University Chair and past president of the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. In 10 years, for example, if you or a loved one is diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, which today has a 5-year survival rate of just 13%, a combination of targeted therapy, immunotherapy drugs, activating the immune system, and a personalized mRNA vaccine, which triggers a cancer-specific immune response, could lead to doubling or tripling 5-year survival, DePinho says. In 20 years, minimally invasive image-guided surgeries, followed by personalized vaccines after surgery, will help prevent recurrence of early-stage cancers. They do have a timeline of upcoming breakthroughs later in this article. In the coming time, a hip fracture, which currently results in death in 21% of people 60 and older, within a year after a fall, will be transformed from a potential tragedy into a temporary setback. Stem cell therapy, which may be delivered in a special infusion center, will allow older people to regrow bone mass, enabling them to return to full function and health, UCLA's Rando says. Your annual checkup will most likely be a lot different as well. Beyond basics, such as glucose levels and triglycerides, the checkup of the future may consist of testing thousands of biomarkers, molecules found in your blood and other body fluids, or tissues that can reveal potential or emerging diseases before they pose a threat. Although biomarker-guided therapies have been used to treat cancer for decades, scientists are identifying biomarkers of aging that will help predict dementia, liver disease, osteoporosis, and other diseases, allowing for earlier and more accurate interventions before disease sets in. Some scientists, such as Harvard geneticist and longevity researcher David Sinclair, believe that aging can be even reversed. Here's the theory. day by day, year by year. Our DNA replicates itself as we discard old cells and grow new ones. But like a copier running low on ink, the duplication gets less and less accurate, and genetic information is lost. That's what creates aging. What would happen if we could prevent that information loss? Last year, in a paper published in Cell, Sinclair and his team made the case that a backup copy of the genetic instructions stored in the body's hard drive could be rebooted, essentially reversing the damage done by aging. Though his experiments are primarily in the animal testing phase, Sinclair says he will start a trial next year to test this theory with the specific goal of reversing blindness in humans. And before we go on, we have a sidebar article. Nir Bracciali, 68, president of the Academy for Health and Lifespan Research, on My Longevity Secrets. I exercise every day for about an hour on the Peloton treadmill and stretch twice a week with a trainer. I'm doing upper body and lower body exercise with weights and stretching. For food, my main intervention is intermittent fasting at least 16 hours a day, many times more. I'm trying to do more Mediterranean diet and less carbohydrates. I take 1,500 milligrams of metformin every day. For sleep, I try to be in a dark room without electronics for at least 8 hours and get as much good sleep as I can. For social connectivity, I'm talking to you. And looking at one more section here, why different body parts age at different rates and how medicine can respond. You need only look around at your circle of friends to realize that the passing of time affects everyone differently. One 70-year-old may look 60-ish, hopefully that's you, while another looks fully their age and more. Each person has what's called a biological age, which is the measure of the health of their tissues and organs. Your biological age may be lower or higher than the number of birthdays you've had. Everyone ages differently due to genetics, lived experiences, and family history, says Miranda Orr, a neuroscientist specializing in Alzheimer's disease and brain aging at Wake Forest University School of Medicine and the Salisbury, Virginia Medical Center in North Carolina. Even different parts of our bodies age at different rates, which is why an otherwise healthy person can be blindsided by an unexpected disease that targets one specific organ, kidney failure, for example, or prostate cancer. We are a collection of organs, and not everyone's organs are aging at the same rate, says Wes Corey, the D.H. Ken Distinguished Professor of Neurology and Neurological Sciences at Stanford University. In his groundbreaking study last year, he not only demonstrated that researchers could use biomarkers to identify how each organ is aging, but was able to show the consequences of those findings. An organ that was aging faster carried a 15 to 50% higher risk for mortality in the following 15 years. One in five healthy adults 50 and older have at least one organ that is aging too fast, the study found. Since identifying what they call the hallmarks of aging, the molecular, cellular, and systemic processes that our bodies undergo as we grow older, gerontologists and scientists like Wes Corey can define the specific ways in which each individual ages. Once your unique hallmarks are established, doctors will be able to tailor drug regimens and combination therapies to treat your specific aging profile, rather than giving you the same type of treatment as everyone else. And that opens up a wide world of opportunities to detect, treat, and reverse diseases. The code to your specific aging profile is found within a series of these biomarkers, molecules within the body that offer clues to one's health. Triglycerides, A1C, and prostate-specific antigens, PSA, are common examples of biomarkers, but researchers can now use blood, skin, or saliva samples to analyze specifics specific patterns in DNA called methylation marks that give more detailed looks at the biological age of various body parts. If DNA from a certain area of the body shows signs of greater wear and tear, doctors may be able to administer treatments to give that area a helping hand, bringing its biological age back in line with the rest of the body before a disease can take hold. If you can monitor the relative age of an organ on an ongoing basis and see, for example, that the lung of a 60-year-old is aging like that of a 65-year-old, you can do an intervention to bring it back to its normal age. Says Dr. Wiskori, who predicted that Food and Drug Administration, FDA, will approve tests for use in humans specifically designed to measure organ aging within the next 5 to 10 years. With the little bit of time we have today, let's go back to the magazine and look at Upfront Go, the best months to visit Europe. The month you travel overseas can make all the difference in your experience. To avoid heat and crowds in most cities, avoid the summer and look to other seasons instead. London, for example. March through May, royal parks and gardens blossom, wisteria flowers across the city. September through October, lovely leaves and pubs. November and December, seasonal light displays. Copenhagen, June through August, long, bright days and mild temperatures to enjoy, canals, sidewalk cafes, and Tivoli Gardens Park. Madrid, March through May, hibiscus gardens and roses bloom. October through December, autumn festival and Christmas markets. In Vienna, April through May, pleasant weather at top attractions, Schönbrunn Palace and the Hofburg. September, start of an opera season when tickets are discounted. November through December, Christmas markets. Budapest, March through May, pleasant weather and cafes reopen their terraces. Budapest Spring Festival starts in late April. September through October, vibrant fall colors, cooler weather for soaking in the thermal baths. Rome, April through May, mild sun-drenched days, historic gardens alive with spring blooms. October, crisp air, gentle sunshine, changing colors, and Villa Borghese gardens. Yes, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.